welcome to the Musings on Sports podcast for June 7th, 2022. I'm Kelly Elbin, along with my co-host, the one and only Bob Bubka. Bob, we've got a lot to talk about today. You're headed to the Open Championship. It's Women's Golf Day. Tiger Woods has made a big announcement about the U.S. Open. And, of course, LIV Golf, maybe the number one topic in the sport of golf. Bob, let's start out with some great news. You are headed over to the 150th Open at St. Andrews in Scotland in July, and you're going to be part of a lot of history there with one Jack William Nicklaus.
Well, you're right about that, Kelly. I'd be lying if I didn't say Janice and I both have goosebumps over the fact that confirmation has been received that we will be covering the 150th Open Championship at St. Andrews. I've been there many times in the past, but it never gets old, I can assure you of that. Added spice this year, as you alluded to, Jack Nicklaus going to join two other people that's going to be have received basically the keys to the city of St. Andrews. Bobby Jones, which you certainly could understand, right. But Ben Franklin, who, after doing some research, discovered that he went to college at the University of St. Andrews back in 1757, and they awarded him the key to the city. Now Jack Nicklaus, on the Tuesday prior to the Open Championship, he's going to receive the key to the city. We're going to be there. Tiger's going to be there. You know, having done golf for a long, long time, I never thought my level of excitement would reach what it is right now. But it's a thrill. It's an honor. I feel very blessed, and certainly I'm looking forward to it. And we're going to be able to give firsthand accounts to Musing on Sports, and I'm very proud of that aspect.
Well, you should be. It's wonderful on all accounts, all the emotions that you just outlined. Jack, indeed, will become the third honorary citizen of St. Andrews, a place where he won two of his Open championships, a place where he decided would be his last Open championship, and he pretty much had said he wasn't going to ever come back. And then they called and said, Jack, we'd like to make you an honorary citizen, and you're joining Mr. Jones and Mr. Franklin. You don't turn that one down, Bob, by the way.
No, Ben would be very upset if he found out that Jack said no.
Exactly. Well, wishing you and Janice, our executive producer, safe travels, and you're going to have so many great memories and stories coming out of that week. One player who also will be there, as you mentioned, is Tiger Woods. Made the announcement earlier today, and I'm so happy that he did, that he is foregoing the U.S. Open at the Country Club next week. He flat out said, I need to rest, need to get my body in better shape for major championship golf. He does. He labored. Yeah, he made the cut at the PGA Championship, labored when it got cold on that Saturday at Southern Hills, pulled out after that round, and I think this is a great move. You talk about, it can be cold, as you know, over there, but I think this is what he's had his sights set on. This championship at St. Andrews, where he's won before, in his mind, probably the best chance this year to win one of the four major golf championships for him.
Well, you're right on the money, Kelly. St. Andrews is certainly a ball striker's golf course, second shot golf course, and Tiger's a fine iron player as ever to have played the game. So he's looking forward to it. There's no real hills to walk up and down. Right. There's not a lot of uneven lies. Don't forget, Tiger made a promise to me at the PGA Championship that he was going to win another major. Mm-hmm. I would think his best opportunity to fulfill that would be a victory at St. Andrews. Wouldn't that be something in the annals of golf history? Tiger Woods wins the 150th anniversary of the Open Championship here at St. Andrews.
That would be some story. And speaking of victories, today's a victory for women in the game of golf. It's Women's Golf Day. There's a woman named Alyssa Gaudet who really spearheaded this effort. You have about 880 golf facilities worldwide that are promoting the game, welcoming women into the game, enhancing the experiences for those who are already playing the game. One of the great things, when I was at the PGA of America for about a dozen years, Bob, we talked a lot about the different aspects of the game of golf, the camaraderie, the competition, to be out there with friends and family. There's so many reasons for anybody to play the game, and certainly for women to pick it up. There are more and more who are playing the game. You saw the terrific play over the weekend, obviously at the elite level with Minji Lee, really dominating at the U.S. Women's Open. But for women who just want to get into this game, and it may be for business, it may be for fun, it may be for family, all kinds of reasons, and Women's Golf Day is a great way to celebrate that.
Yeah, and we happen to be good friends with Elisa. Matter of fact, we knew way back when it was just a dream, and she got together with Janice and I and said, you know, I have this vision that, you know, we can have a day out of the calendar year that pays tribute to female golfers. And boy, oh boy, she has worked hard. She has realized that vision. Now it's one of the outstanding dates on the golf calendar each and every year. Congratulations to Elisa on a job well done. And I know Women's Golf Day is only going to grow and get bigger and bigger.
And remember, when it comes to playing golf, it does not mean you have to play 18 holes. It means you can go and hit some golf balls on the range. It means you can go and play six holes and have dinner afterwards on a Thursday. It means you can play nine holes in a scramble with a friend, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, wife, husband. That's how you get the enjoyment of the game and get into the game and make it fun. A little different fun for Minji, the way she played. Did you see that her caddy at the U.S. Women's Open at Pine Needles was the same caddy who Corey Webb, the last Australian before Minji, he caddied for Corey Webb in 2001 when the Women's Open was played at Pine Needles. That's pretty good karma. Give me that caddy, Bob.
Yeah, he's absolutely a great caddy, and I'm glad the name Corey Webb was brought up again. She was a very good friend when we were covering LPGA events and Women's Opens, and she was extremely talented young lady, a little bit shy, but an awfully nice person, and has done wonders for the game of golf, especially women's golf, down in Australia.
Bob, you and I are going to spend quite a bit of time talking about LIV Golf right after this message from our friends at Bridgestone Golf.
Today, there are smarter phones, smarter cars, smarter everything. So Bridgestone Golf's engineers thought, why not a smarter golf ball? Introducing the new Tour B, with a smart reactive IQ cover that delivers more power off your driver, more control off your wedges. Try Bridgestone's new Tour B with reactive IQ cover, the smarter tour ball.
First press conference today in conjunction with the LIV Golf Invitational series, which is backed by the Saudi government. And Dustin Johnson had a line today that I think is one that you're going to hear from a lot of players who have decided to play in that. And in fact, he joins Kevin Na and some Europeans, Sergio, Louis Oosthuizen, and Charles Schwartzel in resigning from the PGA Tour. And Dustin Johnson says, I chose what's best for me and my family in resigning from the PGA Tour. And I think $100 million plus, Bob, in guaranteed money will certainly help you make decisions and make those kinds of choices. There's a lot of layers to this, we know, but boy, the money is just, it's just out of sight.
And I can't help but think when I hear about these resignations from the tour, the old joke where the boss said, you're fired, and the guy said, you can't fire me, I quit. No, you're fired, I quit. I mean, who knows? Resignation from the tour. If you resign from the tour, you can't be suspended.
That's right.
So if you can't be suspended, you can't get any penalties. I don't know. It's a big, big mess at this juncture. Is it overall good for the game of golf? I am really not smart enough to even make that evaluation. I'm along with just about everybody else, and, you know, we're going to have to wait and see. Is it good for the PGA Tour? I cannot see any outcome that'll make this, LIV Golf being good for the PGA Tour. But still, I mean, the amount of monies that are being, given away. I mean, Phil Mickelson, they said he had some money problems with some gambling debts. Well, I'll tell you what, he just came in at $200 million. I guarantee he doesn't have any debts now, and he can't spend $200 million in his lifetime, no matter what. You know, after you buy the biggest mansion, the biggest yacht, the biggest airplane, you got a problem in spending money, and $200 million is a heck of a problem to have. I know I would like to give it a crack at making it disappear. I think Las Vegas might be one of my best friends if I came in at $200 million.
Oh, my gosh. And I agree with you. And I don't say this in a condescending way, but I don't think that LIV Golf is necessarily good for the game. I think it's good for a few players in the game who have the opportunity. The Sergio Garcias and Graham McDowells and Ian Poulter and Lee Westwood, Kevin Na, Dustin, Phil. Yeah, it's not in a way, I tell you what, you've got some names there. I know you've also got some guys, James Piatt, who won the U.S. Amateur last year, who isn't even professional yet, having just a chance to play, and you're not going to see a guy like that around because you're in the future events on LIV because they want to attract the big names. This is great for a handful of guys, and that's exactly where LIV is trying to go. You've got and Bob, again, why not? 48-player field. You've got sort of this team concept similar to Formula One. You have 12 four-man teams, 54-hole events, no cut. First seven events, $20 million purses, Bob. They played for $12 million at Memorial. Billy Horschel, who played great, won 2.1. The winner of this event this week, 54 holes, no cut, wins $4 million. Last place this week at LIV, $120,000. Last place at Memorial was about $25,000. So if the event looks good on streaming, it's not going to be on regular TV. It's going to be streaming on YouTube. It's going to be on livegolf.com. If it comes off looking good, if other players see it, I'm telling you, if a Ricky Fowler sees this, and Fowler missed the qualifying for the U.S. Open, if Bryson DeChambeau sees this, and DeChambeau was one of those guys that I think was very interested in this tour, you may see a guy or two tee it up next month when they play the first LIV event in the States in Oregon. It's going to be most interesting from the perspective of the players who Greg Norman and that group are trying to attract to play and LIV.
Well, just seconds ago from our news department here at Musings, an announcement by the USGA stating they will accept Dustin Johnson into the U.S. Open at Brookline if he wants to participate, sure, and Phil Mickelson, sure, if he wants to participate. So that is a big, major stepping stone for LIV Golf. I'm just looking at it. They play eight events with LIV. They play the four majors, assuming that the other three follow the lead example of the USGA. That's 12 events, yep, and you're making all this money. You got a lot of time with your family. You got a lot of money in the bank, and you're still playing some competitive golf. Wow. Cannot be a happy place right now down at Ponte Vedra and headquarters for the PGA Tour.
In the lead to my Monday Musings on Facebook, it's a column I write each week, my opening sentence was, work less, period, earn way more. And then I wrote, sign me up, right? And that's exactly what's going on. You're going to work maybe 12 weeks. Let's say you can work 12 weeks, Bob, and you can spend, therefore, by my calculation, that means roughly 40 weeks you don't have to work, and you're going to be making substantially more money than you would have made on the PGA Tour. And if you can put the moral, the ethical concerns that many have about the Saudi government aside, let's say that you have played in some of those events that have been held in Saudi Arabia in the past. Boy, you've found yourself a pot of gold.
Let me just share with our listeners a statement made by the United States Golf Association just minutes ago. Regarding players who may choose to play in London this week, we simply asked ourselves this question. Should a player who had earned his way into the 2022 U.S. Open via our published field criteria be pulled out of the field as a result of his decision to play in another event? And we ultimately decided they should not. This is from the United States Golf Association.
Very wise to do so, in my opinion. Phil Mickelson, by winning the PGA Championship last year at in South Carolina at Kiawah Island, has a 5-year exemption to play in the United States Open. Dustin Johnson winning the Masters a few years ago also gives him that 5-year exemption. So, yeah, I they earned it. And I do not think the USGA would have been in – I think they would have been way out of bounds if they had denied them the ability to play. Now, so much of this, again, when it comes to the larger issue of the PGA Tour, are these players independent contractors? Are they bound by the PGA Tour? The PGA Tour with the commissioner, Jay Monahan, has made it clear. If you join LIV, you're gone. You're done. We're going to ban you from the PGA Tour. I got to tell you, Bob, I don't know in a court of law, and it will get there. I don't know if that holds up. I think it's a delicate balancing act for the PGA Tour, and I think that's a major concern. I don't know how all this shakes out, but I don't know that you can mandate guys that if you leave our tour to go somewhere else, you can never come back and play our tour again.
No, you're right, and I've just received word, confirmation on the fact that Phil Mickelson and Dustin Johnson have agreed to play in the third major of the year. So Phil, for those that may not be aware, only needs the United States Open title to complete the Grand Slam, become the sixth player in golf history to win all four majors. So that just give a major shot in the arm to the U.S. Open at Brookline. Not that I think it needs it. Brookline, right. One of the finest golf courses in the country, and the U.S. Open obviously speaks for itself. But we're going to certainly have a lot more excitement with Phil Mickelson playing, depending on how he's been performing. Now, nobody knows whether he's been practicing for the last month, whether he's not been near a golf course. A lot of questions to be answered, which I think will be answered. Hopefully he's going to have a press conference prior to the start of the LIV event in London, and we'll be able to find out from Phil firsthand what he's been up to.
Now, Bob, while the USGA has announced that those two players are welcome, when you resign from the PGA Tour, that essentially disqualifies you from competing in international competitions run by the PGA of America and the PGA Tour. Therefore, Dustin Johnson is no longer eligible to play on President's Cup teams. You've got the President's Cup at Quail Hollow in Charlotte in September of this year. He's no longer eligible to play on Ryder Cup teams. You've got the Ryder Cup outside of Rome next year. He's accepted that. And again, the courts will determine this in the long run. But I thought that when Kevin Na, he was the first to say, I'm resigning from the PGA Tour, I thought it was a stroke of genius. I thought it was a really good move for exactly those reasons. Now you're not a member of the tour anymore. So whatever court decision is made, it becomes rather nebulous as to how it affects you. But for Dustin, he's fully aware that he can't represent the United States in international competitions. But again, the money's just too good.
And I was basically saying what I was kidding about before. You can't fire me. I quit.
Yeah. Yeah. Man,
oh,
it's really
boy.
True.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
You know, it's real. I think it's a seismic shift in golf. I don't know how it'll play out. I really don't. And so much has been talked and written about LIV, and it's been a long time coming. Let's be honest about it. It's been talked for quite some time. And now that it's finally here, and now that they're finally going to play an event, I'm really interested to see how it'll play out. and how and what guys may determine that, wow, I love the PGA Tour, but as Dustin Johnson said again, I chose what's best for me and my family. You're going to hear that refrain from players, and not sure I can blame them. You know, we're
hey,
gonna,
Cal, before yeah, we move on, just one thing popped into my head last night. You know, been reading that it's a shotgun start.
Yeah.
Now, right. That means they're going to tee off on every hole that, you know, has players at the same time.
That's
what,
right.
What does TV do at that point? Where do they go?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's my understanding they have 60 cameras. That's a lot to cover a single field event. But if you got 60 cameras, you only have 48 players, you can probably get around a lot easier. I don't know exactly how the machinations of it will work. And it will be interesting also to see if, as guys are playing, you know, typically if you're leading, you tee off late in the day and you know, you already know what's going on. Now you're kind of in the middle of things. You're playing at the same time that everybody else is. One other thing on that, Bob, the official world golf rankings for some of these players, like a guy like Hudson Swafford, a younger player, who quite honestly really hasn't done all that much on the PGA Tour, but again, is looking for a very soft landing. I mean, he's got a great life as it is, but he's looking for that, give me 12 weeks out of the year, I can work, make a lot more money, but not then get to spend the other 40 with my kids. That's fine and dandy. But the official world golf rankings are not going to give any points based on your performances on the LIV Tour. Why? Because it's kind of a, I don't know, I don't mean again to be condescending, but it's somewhat of an exhibition. It's 54 holes. It's not 72 holes. And that's it. So if you win an event, you're, in terms of the world golf ranking points that would qualify you, would qualify a player for Swafford or Kevin Na, for that matter, to get into the Masters or the U.S. Open or the PGA Championship or the Open Championship. They've never won any of those. They're going to put themselves in a bit of a bind, I think, in terms of being eligible to play in major championships.
Well, I think world golf ranking points, as we know it, probably going to cease to exist. But what they'll come up with to replace it remains to be seen. I think the biggest revelation over the last couple of days, and there's been one a minute if you follow it closely enough, is the fact that it appears, certainly at this juncture, that all four majors are not going to penalize players that are playing, you know, on the LIV tour. And I just think that's huge. You know, it's one thing. You're probably right on the President's Cup and Ryder Cup, and that's certainly tough enough to give up, but nowhere near the difficulty giving up an opportunity to earn a green jacket or win the United States Open or the Open Championship or the Wanamaker Trophy at the PGA. If they still have an ability to do that, this goes a long ways towards hurting what the PGA Tour would like to see accomplished.
Bob, these are not the last things we're going to be talking about as it pertains to LIV Golf. We'll wrap it up right after this message from our good friends at Titleist.
Your most important shot is the one you're about to hit. And whether it's the first drive of the day, a difficult approach from a tight lie, or a bunker shot to save par, you need to know your golf ball will perform exactly the way you need it to. Superior performance on every type of shot. It's why the majority of the world's best players choose the Pro V1 or Pro V1X, and why you should too.
Well, thanks, Bob. Great to be with you as always. A reminder to all of you out there listening to join us next week as we prepare for the United States Open Golf Championship, which will feature, as we noted earlier, both Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson, but not Tiger Woods, to be played at the Country Club outside of Boston. Encourage all of you to please check out my Monday Musings. It's Kelly Elbin on my Facebook page. And please enjoy Musings on Sports wherever you enjoy your podcast. For my dear friend Bob Bupka, soon to be headed off to the old country, this is Kelly Elbin signing off. Thanks for listening to Musings on Sports.